Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. We're still deeply in love with Romance of the Three Kingdoms. Yeah, that was a fake out.
We actually hate each other.
I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
And I'm Jackson Tyler from Abnormal Mapping. No M this week, or for maybe a little while. No set date on the return, but they are taking some time off this podcast. They're reading along. They are continuing to read on, and will join us again on this journey at some point in the future. But it's just me for now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, listen, there may come a time, like maybe next week it'll be like, oh, hey, we've got notes from M or something. But, yes. Like, you know, right now, you know, just... Keeping it rolling, and you know, I think if you're gonna duck out, you picked a good time because this is a time of great chaos and very little progress on anyone's front.
I've got bad news for you about this book.
I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'm just saying, like, this is a lot of people being stupid and faffing about.
I've got some bad news for you about this book.
You've got some good news for me about this book. It's what's actually
it's
happening.
It's great. These chapters are good. I'm having a good time. I like this book a lot.
Yeah, so we read chapters 10, 11, and 12.
Yes.
You know, we had our classic read-on cliffhanger because the rebels Li Ju and Guo Xi, were like, hey, we just killed Wang Yun. We could just kill the Emperor, too. Why don't we just do that? That sounds all right. The life of the Emperor is now at stake. Read on.
Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, their two lieutenants are like, it's probably not the best thing to go ahead and kill the Emperor and destabilize everything yet again. So maybe hold off on that for now. Yep.
Hey, y'all, what everybody else does is just put a sword to his throat and say, do whatever we want. Why don't you just do that? And they're like, oh, okay.
The title of chapter 10. I don't have it, so I'm just prompted.
Okay.
We forgot about it, but I don't have it.
Ma Tang takes up arms to save the throne.
Yes.
Cao Cao musters an army to avenge his father.
His father's fine right now, so... Ominous words.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be I don't know. They rally their army, they're like, great, now we want some titles. And the Emperor says, which titles do you want? And they just took down a piece of paper and wrote down a list of offices they want.
It's very good. And it just lists the offices. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good because they like offices. Avenged the guy last time, even though he was like he took out Dong Zhuo, and that whole chapter was about everything with Wang Yan, and they take him out, and then they're left in the situation where they don't have any real ambition, right? They don't. They're like, okay, we've got all the power. We can kill the Emperor. We can make the Emperor do what we want. What does this mean? I guess I want a cool title. I want a cool title. I'll have a cool title, and I'll think of the rest later.
Which is once again a classic instance of Total War Three Kingdoms doing a great job of representing the book, because there's, you know, there's a concept of like how much the people underneath you like you, right?
Yep.
And you absolutely have the power to appease them by just giving them a bullshit title that doesn't mean anything.
It's great. It's very good.
But with time, they're like, there's also like a built-in timer where it sort of expires. And it's like after 3 or 4 months, they realize, wait, this title doesn't mean anything. What the fuck? That's pretty good.
It's like those stealth games where you throw out a distraction and you just sneak around them a little bit and hope they don't notice.
Mm-hmm. After getting all their titles, they're like, okay, great. Let's recover Dong Zhuo's corpse and, you know, have a proper, you know, like, funeral. Oh, there isn't one. They really made a mess of that boy.
He got way too destroyed. He got owned too hard. So they're like, someone build a wooden carving of him so we can bury something and then get on with the business of running the country.
But then Heaven's like, fuck that. And when they have the burial procession, a downpour and lightning hitting what remains of the body more or less prevent them from burying anything.
Dongzhuo is really bad news. He sucks.
The fragments of Dongzhuo's corpse had been consumed by lightning because the lightning just struck it again and again and again.
I like to think of them watching that and being like, what does that omen mean? It would got read on that.
Out with the old and with the new? Any children's rhymes?
Any children's rhymes though? Oh. That guy's Dongzhuo.
Yeah. And they were like, okay, I guess we'll just sort of be dickheads around the capital for a while.
Because that went so well the last time.
I mean, that's just, you know, listen, they learned it by watching you, Dongzhuo Dad.
They did it that.
So they just sort of start, like, randomly promoting and demoting people and just sort of being shitheads. And so there's, you know, the loyalists led by Ma Tang are like, no, we need to go save the emperor. This is not right. We can't have these vile men running the capital. And they're like, we're going to go attack and we're going to siege and it'll be fantastic. Among the traitor generals, there's a division where two of them are like, okay, let's just sort of like hunker down and, you know, wait this out. We've got the capital. We'll be fine. And two of them are like, that's stupid. Let us go kill them. And they're like, I mean, if you want to go, we don't really care. Go ahead.
Feel free, I guess.
And they ride off and just get owned completely.
Yeah, every time someone is like, I got this good tactic, and someone's like, it's a really bad idea, but go feel free, they get so destroyed. It's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. But there is one sad moment here, which is so one of the generals, Fang Chou, sort of like falls back and pushes back the army one more time as they're winning them out. And one of the leaders of the army coming to save the emperor, Han Sui, is like, oh shit, I guess I gotta go. And Fang Chou tries to like run him down, and Han Sui is like, what are you doing? I'm just a simple soldier trying to do the right thing. We're just both soldiers here. Let me walk away. And Fang Chou's like, I guess.
This is known in the modern era as the Big Boss Gambit.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah. I didn't know there was an official title, but that totally makes sense.
If you're just like, we're both soldiers, we're both doing the right thing, we are both men of kin here, and you must let me go my way. That's Big Boss does that to everyone all the time. He's all about the soldier's loyalty.
It's not the fault of soldiers. It's the times change.
That's true.
You know, right? There aren't really any borders. I don't know if you knew.
Yeah, no, China must be made whole again.
Yeah.
Then it goes really bad for him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he goes back home and they're like, hey, why'd you let one of the leaders of the rebellion go? Why are you scheming against us? And they just, you know, cut his head off.
Oh, well, they're like, we need to cut his head off. And then they go, well, you could cut his head off, but then he'd pretty much know you were going to do that. So instead, why not hold a banquet and then cut his head off? And they're like, this rules. We get some free food. He gets like to be very surprised when we do cut his head off. And it works out great for everyone. And it does for this like exact moment.
Yeah, they're like, wait. I feel like we've had incidents before back when we were with Dongzhuo. Where he needed to get something done. He held a party first. That's right. I remember now. Thanks, Dad.
Yep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they tell his other partner, being like, oh, no, don't worry. This will never happen to you. Even though it definitely... Even though doing something like this at a banquet ever since it's been happening in the past is a symbol that, like, oh, yeah, this will probably be you too someday.
Yep.
Well, though, to be fair, it is like, listen... He betrayed us. he pulled a big boss. We can't have a big boss around here.
It's very bad news to have a big boss in your army.
Extremely. So after that, everybody else was like, I guess we'll just leave him alone. Can have those generals stay in their capital with their emperor. We don't really need to fuck with that right now. And her eyes turn towards Cao Cao.
He does.
Yeah, a second Yellow Scarf Rebellion begins, and Cao Cao goes out with Bao Jin to quell it. Bao Jin gets killed almost immediately, but
I'm Bao Jin. Cao-
yeah, Cao Cao convinces. Cao Cao, being this expert strategist, convinces over 300,000 of the rebels to surrender, and he more or less scoops them all into his ranks. And while he's at it, brings in a lot of scholars and other people, and he's just spending his time A, quelling this rebellion, B, moving everyone in the rebellion into his forces. At least a significant chunk of them.
Yeah, he is gaining much renown, as they say. Like, this is Cao Cao's big day. Because no one else is fighting this Yellow Scarf Rebellion. He is handily taking care of it.
And it's also here that I feel like we get a really good sense of, like, one of the main things that divides Cao Cao from everybody else. Which is, everybody else, when someone gives them advice, they're either like, how dare you, or they kill them. And Cao Cao's like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, he's very receptive to advice unless there's something else going on in the background that's making him very bullheaded.
Yeah, you know, not perfectly receptive to advice, perhaps, as we'll learn. But there's a lot of people being like, hey, why don't you hire this person? They're smart. Or like, hey, why don't you make this strategic move? And he's like, yeah, that sounds good. And because of that, he's now got, like, one of the biggest armies on the land.
He sure does.
Meanwhile, you know, he's not the only Cao in the land. And Cao Song, his dad, is just, as best as I can tell, just sort of fucking, like, wandering the country with a bunch of ladies. I know, I guess he's trying to, he's coming to meet up with Cao Cao, he's trying to reunite him, but he's just like, he's just riding in this caravan with a bunch of money and girls?
Well, Cao Cao calls him, Cao Cao's like, okay, I'm here doing this job, I need my father here, I need to, like, this is my new headquarters, so let's bring my dad over. And so he summons his dad, and his dad begins his procession, so it's a very, like, lavish journey as they travel across China, where nothing bad ever happens. And that's how this begins.
Yeah, it's also worth noting that they're being surrounded by a group of former Yellow Scarves that are conscripted to basically help with this journey, and they're not very happy with their position right now. they're having second thoughts about the whole surrender thing.
Yeah, well, the Yellow Scarves come by way of Tao Qian. Because the Cao Song convoy passes through their city, and Tao Qian's like, oh, I can't believe, you know, the father of the great Cao Cao, this is wonderful. Listen, I want to, you know, how about you stay? How about we have a party? Everybody likes having parties. No one ever gets killed at parties. And Cao Song is like, no, I got to keep going. And he's like, okay, well, that's fine. I will personally escort you out of the city, and then I'll send one of my generals with some troops to help you get to your location, and it'll be great. And the dude he sends is Zhang Kai, who is, as you mentioned, a former Yellow Scarf. And as they're like walking in this with this like procession of like people like feasting and, you know, having a great time, and they're outside in the rain, just pouring rain, they're like, so hang on, how did we get here? We were Yellow Scarves, we were rebelling because nobles treat us like shit and we want to have someone control of our destiny, and then Tao Qian kicked our asses and was like, you work for me now. And we were like, okay, because we didn't want to die. And now he's not here and we're with these assholes. Why don't we just kill him and rob him and run away?
Sounds like a great plan.
It does. And, you know, it actually kind of goes fairly well for them. They just kind of do it.
They do it. And that's it. That's it for all Cao Song.
Yeah, he sort of tries to escape, but, you know, doesn't really work out, and he gets, you know, put towards that sword, as they say, in the vicinity of a sword.
Oh yeah, one thing we should mention, one of the people that Cao Cao ends up bringing into his ranks is Dian Wei, who is basically one of his scouts, finds Dian Wei chasing a tiger, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, this person, he'll be useful." And he basically proves his strength by going over to a banner that 10 or 12 people are having trouble studying on their own, lifts one hand, and is able to study it immediately.
I was sold on him even before I met him, because I played Dynasty Warriors 8, and he's just this big dude, and his Musou attack is he rushes forward, grabs someone, and headbutts them until they die. And I was like, this guy seems great.
Yeah, he definitely seems like he has that strength.
Yeah, he's just this big tough guy who's super loyal, and he just wants to, you know, he wants to prove himself by, you know, distinguished service. So now Cao Cao has this great army that he's built out of, you know, surrendering yellow scarves and being a good governor, and he's got all these heroes on his side, and he's like, okay, Tao Qian needs to fucking die. He let his men kill my dad. The two of us cannot share the same sky. And so he launches a full-scale invasion.
I like this stuff because Sasa immediately, like, I need revenge on this guy who clearly doesn't have, like, he so obviously doesn't have anything to actually do with the murder. Is very cool, as it gives a look into, like, so the reason the murder occurred was because of the, like, discontent of the yellow scarves, which occurred because of the uselessness and ability treating, like, people like shit all the time, and the response of Sessa is to, like, continue the infighting of the nobility. It's just very good. I just, the way the politics kind of evolve out of these situations is very nice and interesting. I'm excited to, like, you know, get a more complete read on the sense of, like, the way these states of ancient China are being formed.
Yeah, it is interesting. And this is where we see Cao Cao kind of start to lose some of his reason. And so, like, first off, Chen Gong, who was, you know, is one of Cao Cao's governors, comes to him and is like, hey, I don't think Tao Qian did this. I think probably it was just like the guy who killed him. That's probably the guy you want. And also, like, you're gonna go attack and, like, burn down a city that you don't, like, they don't have anything to do with you. Isn't this a bad plan? And Sousa's like, how fucking dare you? He killed my whole family. I pluck his entrails to satisfy my hatred. And Chen Gong's like, well, I guess I'll just go be a governor somewhere else.
I love Sasa's style on this too. Like, he's wearing white mourning garb, and his banners, which are always excellent, change to vengeance and satisfaction.
Yep.
Like, he's not making any, he's not obfuscating his purpose here. He's out here for blood.
Yeah. And so as they're riding on, Tao Qian tries again, and he's like, listen, I was trying to be friends with you, and that's why I sent some dudes to escort your dad. Turns out they sucked, my bad, but, like, I really wasn't involved. And Cao Cao is not having it, and basically just asks someone to, you know, he's like, hey, listen, you fucking suck, will somebody kill this guy for me? And then there's a storm that interrupts the fight, and both armies retreat. And Tao Qian's like, okay, I guess, given the size of his army, I'm just gonna go out there and let him kill me, and hopefully that'll make things okay. But someone pipes up, like, what if we didn't do that? And instead we killed Cao Cao.
Yeah, I do like it, because it's like, okay, if his vengeance is just with me, I'll just go die, and then we won't have to have a big war, which a lot of wars would be stopped if someone actually said that. So it's, like, a really cool mark in, you know, it's definitely meant to emphasize the nobility of this dude.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Though you wouldn't know it from Three Kingdoms. Total War, he's such a piece of shit. Fucking ass.
I haven't played it. I don't know the, like, representations of in the video games.
It's just like a quirk of his AI or something. He just fucking ran out and like kited my army around, like just him by himself on a horse, just like rode laps around his city and kept trying to kite my AI off of objectives. And I was like, you stupid asshole, I'm trying to burn your city down. Fuck off. Anyway.
So this brings us to chapter 11. Liu Xuande rescues Kong Rong at Bihai, and Lu Bu defeats Cao Cao near Puyang.
Everyone is here.
Yeah, all the stars. So we're introduced to Mizhu, who's the guy who was like, why don't we just kill him? His deal is that one time he was on his way home, and like a lady asked for a ride. And he was, like, super honorable and, like, let her in, tried to walk, and she wouldn't. She was like, no, it's okay. And then he just, like, didn't, you know, he wasn't leery. He was just staring out the window. And she was like, well, you know, listen, you were really honorable. I'll be straight with you. I'm the deity of solar fire, and I'm about to burn down your house. You should get your shit out of there before I burn it down. And so he's like, oh, shit. And he races home, gets his stuff out, and, yeah, his house burns down. And after that event, he becomes, like, this figure of charity and generosity.
He does.
And proposing to kill Cao Cao, apparently.
What could be more generous?
So he's like, listen, I've got this plan. Stop me if you've heard this one before. I'm just going to go get help. You can ask other people to help you. And Tao Chan's like, oh, okay, actually, that sounds great. Why don't you go, like, send some mail for me, and hopefully this will work itself out.
Yes.
Which, basically, it does in the long run. But, Mishu goes to see Kong Rong, who is the governor of Beihai, and he's like, a descendant of Confucius, and he's, like... He's a very, like, charming leader. As a kid, he was kind of like a snarky brat. In a way that was very charming.
Yeah, there's an amazing bit where someone's like, well, you know, sometimes the shitty kids grow into like amazing, like really humble and genius adults. And then the guy's like, well, you must have been smart as hell as a kid then. And everyone has a good old laugh. Just banter. Yes, just classic banter.
Ah, and then he grew up and he was like, oh man, you know, the best thing in the world is when I have a bunch of people over and they're drinking. It's like, oh, what a nice guy. What a friendly guy.
He's a sitcom character, basically.
Yeah. So, Mizhu shows up and he's like, listen, Cao Cao's laying siege to our city. We need your help. And Kong Rong's like, listen, I think Tao's pretty cool. And, you know, I'd be happy to help. The thing is, I don't really have any beef with Cao Cao, so like, why don't I just try and like mediate? And Mishu's like, you don't get it. We tried this. He super doesn't care.
He's real set on murdering this guy. you gotta help out. It's not gonna work.
And Kong Rong's like, let me sit here and think about what you said for a minute. And he's like, no, I'm super. I was trying to imply that we need to hate. Okay. All right.
Meanwhile, before he can do anything, he's immediately besieged by a gigantic amount of yellow scarves. Basically coming to take his place.
Yeah, they just show up and they're like, hey, listen, we know you got a lot of food. You should just give it to us or we'll burn the whole city down and kill everybody. But Kong Rong's like, listen, I'm serving in the Han. I don't give shit to outlaws. Fuck off. And Guan Hai's like, okay, I guess that means we're going to kill you all. And that begins a siege that is going quite badly at first. And meanwhile, Mizhu is just standing there like, so that's a no on the reinforcements? But he gets a lucky break. Because there's a knock on the wall. And this guy has fought his way through the yellow scarves, and he is like, "Hey, let me in. My name is Taishi Tzu. I am I'm you know, I'm from your land, and my mom said you were really nice, so I've come to repay the favor of you being nice to my mom. Don't think too hard about that.
Yeah, and Kong Rong's like, great, so someone was coming to me for aid earlier, but why don't we just do that ourselves, and I'm gonna have you go out and contact Xuanda, tell him what's going on, and maybe we can just get this whole assist train going on where they come help us. Maybe they will join us to go help the other people. It'll be a great time.
Yeah.
You ever heard of World War One?
Book.
Yeah, so they go get to Xuanda, and Xuanda, of course, being a totally honorable dude, is like, you're just a guy who lives in Kong Rong's Hengdom, but you're like, hey, he's a good dude. Obviously that's good enough for me. Also, hey, somebody remembered that I exist. He literally says, so the governor of Weihai knows there's a Lu Bu in this world. Like, he's like, oh shit, I thought the book had forgotten about me.
Finally, someone wants my presence.
I mean, the whole point they did their, like, vows at the start was, like, no one paid attention to them. They were, like, fucked over in when they were given that initial assignment with the inspector and everything. So this is things are looking up for Liu Bei.
Yeah. He'll ruin that. So he rides back and he's like, hey, let's break this siege. And basically he does. First he meets up with Kong Rong, and he's like, oh wow, you're connected to the royal house. Listen, Cao Cao seems like he's being a real jerk. I think we should go take care of this. And Xuande is like, I don't know if I've got a pretty small army. I don't know if I can do that. And Kong Rong's like, no, it's fine, just borrow more dudes. It's like, I'm being borrowed and I'm borrowing you, and you can go borrow from somebody else. It's great. And Xuande is like, yeah, that makes sense. So he goes off to meet Gong Xuzan, his old patron, his old pal. And he's like, listen, whether or not he gives me troops, I'll come and I'll help. And Kong Rong's like, great, all right, I'm going to go, I'm going to ride off. We're going to set off.
Yep, that bit's good because... Kong is like, you said you'd come with me, but you're going somewhere else. That sounds like what someone who is about to trick me would say. And then Xuanda is like, I would never do that. I will walk directly into any trap. I see whether we got the troops or not. And he does. He does. He always keeps his word.
Yeah, yeah. To the point where he goes to see like Gong Xuzan, and he's like, listen, I need some troops to go fight Cao Cao. And like Gong is like, to fight Cao Cao? You're like pals with Cao Cao. Like, why? And he's like, well, I said I would.
Like, when you okay, haven't been keeping up with troops. The Twitter beefs.
Exactly.
Also, we'd really Drew like it if you...
What?
Also, I'd really like it if you let me bring Cao along with me.
It's four brothers.
Yeah, because they were such good friends last time and forced apart. I was like, what if I just take him? Because he's a cool guy. Let's go. Let's get everyone together. Whole band's here.
All right, and so with that reinforcement, they head to the battle. And so everybody shows up, and they're like, hey, I've got a great idea. Xuanhe is like, why don't we negotiate? And it was like, oh, fucking damn it. And so he sends a letter. I'm getting ahead of myself, because first Xuanda acts like a dipshit.
Yeah.
Because Tao Qian's like, listen, so this is all happening because Cao Cao wants to kill me, and also I'm old, and also I'm not a very good governor, and you are literally of royal blood, and you're strong, and you have an army, and everyone likes you, and Cao Cao likes you. It seems like if you just take over ruling, I would genuinely, personally appreciate it, and it would make this situation better. And Xuande's like, how dare you?
He just keeps coming up with excuses like, well, I'm joining to help you, and if I took this territory, then it might look like I was in it for selfish reasons, and he's just trying every excuse in the book not to be given this responsibility. even to the point where his other brothers are like, listen, man, you gotta do it. You just gotta do it. At some point, he demurs long enough that people are like, okay, we can leave this until after you take care of Cao Cao. But then, come on.
Yeah. So he writes his letter, and his letter is basically like, listen, it's been a while since we met. I hope you're doing well. I hear your dad died. That sucks. Tao Chan has nothing to do with that, and also the yellow scarves are kind of going wild, and also Dong Zhuo's kids are, I know they're not literally Dong Zhuo's kids, I'm just continuing this bit, folks. Dong Zhuo's kids are holding Emperor. It seems like we should have different priorities. And Cao Cao's like, how dare he lecture me? There's so much sarcasm in this letter.
I love it. I love it so much, because he's basically like, giving a hashtag resistance speech here, and being like, you have forsaken the ways that we sworn to uphold, even though he's being like really deferential, but like going, yes, there are bigger issues at stake. You want to drag us all into this stupid fight? It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cao Cao gets so steamed that he almost kills the messenger, but one of his advisors is like, hey, we could just pretend to accept what they wrote us, and that'll get us closer to the battlefield so we can do more damage. So Cao Cao immediately changes tactics and treats the messenger incredibly well before sending him off.
Yeah, so he treats the messenger really well. He sends him back with like, hey, sure, let's talk. And right after the messenger leaves, he gets a new messenger, which is like, hey, Lu Bu's attacking your province and he's about to take it over. He's like, shit. And this is where we get a truly incredible couple of paragraphs here, which is the story of what happens with Lu Bu after he leaves Dong Zhuo's service. Which is like, so there's this thing, like, listen, I was raised Christian. I am not Christian at this point, but I have been subjected to the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are sequences in the Bible where there's a lot of, like, really just, like, quick, like, so this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And it's kind of the way in which they narrate Lu Bu continuing to piss everyone off.
Yeah, the one I love the most is when Lu Bu got aid from Wan Shuo, but immediately after battle, Lu Bu's like, hey, I did it. It was all me. And then Shaw's like, well, fuck you then. And Lu Bu has to flee.
Yeah, so he first goes to Yuan Shu, and Yuan Shu's like, you're like a dickhead, no. And so he goes to his brother Shao, and he's like, okay, great. You're a great warrior. Let's go fight a battle. And they do. And Lu Bu's like, I'm the man. I won this battle by myself. What's good? And you watch us like, fucking kill this piece of shit. And so Lu Bu runs off to Sang Yang. And that doesn't last very long, because then the generals in the capital find out about it, and they execute him, and he runs off to a new general, and he's just sort of passing from one dude to another, pissing everyone off and making every situation worse.
Yeah, turns out the person who was the right-hand man of a tyrant isn't too respected or well-loved by the rest of the people.
He wasn't so much a right-hand man as like a mean left hook.
Yeah.
But now he is unmoored and like doesn't really know what's going on, but can still destroy basically everyone. So he is an agent of chaos in this situation.
Yeah, so he's like, one of his advisors is like, hey, you know, Cao Cao's not at home. You just take his house. And he's like, that sounds sick. So Cao Cao is like, oh shit, I guess we gotta go back, we gotta go home. And gosh, it's really great that I just said I was gonna accept that peace offering, because now I literally need to so I can leave.
But yeah. Luckily, like, Zhuandai and everyone know that, like, oh, he's just going back to fight Liu Bei. We've got a break, but, you know, he'll be back.
And then also, but also still, Zhuandai can't, like, do anything, like, completely right. Because then they're like, okay, great. Cao Cao's dealt with. We know he's going to be back, so we actually need the region to be stronger, perhaps under the hands of a strong new ruler. And he's like, how dare you dishonor me like this? I'm like, fucking damn it.
He has no ambition. He's not gonna take power by force. He will have to be told to do it 1,000 times.
And so finally, like, it's literally at the point where everyone's like, come on, just help him out. And like Tao Chen is like literally sobbing, like, please help me. And he's like, shall I dishonor myself for you? I'm not gonna do it. And they're like, okay, just hang out nearby with your army. And he's like, okay, I can do that, I can chill. And Xiao Xiaolong is like, okay, I guess I'm going home now, our fight's over. And you're just kind of hanging out, and that's not really what I'm here for, so I'm going back.
Yeah, and he has to have another tearful departure with the fourth brother.
Yes.
Yeah. And then so we turn our attention back to Cao Cao as he tries to march home and protect his own kingdom. And Cao Cao's like, listen, this isn't a big deal. Liu Bu is, like, really strong, but he's a moron. This will be over, and just, like, this will be nothing. He is right about Liu Bu's character, but wrong about how things will go.
Yes.
Because Liu Bu has also learned the lesson of maybe sometimes listen to other people's advice, and because of that, he's able to stay in the fight, because he has Chen Gong, and Chen Gong keeps being, Liu Bu keeps being like, I'm gonna rush them by myself, and Chen Gong's like, that's dumb, and Liu Bu's like, smart.
Yeah, like, there's that, after Cao Cao hits Liu Bu hard, Chen Gong's like, hey, so, he's likely going to try and gain some ground by attacking us at the night. What if we just station some people around and prepare for him to potentially raid us? And Liu Bu does that, and it pays off because Cao Cao more or less boxes him in their own camp. In his own camp.
There is also a great moment earlier on where Cao Cao and Liu Bu meet for the first time in a long time, and Cao Cao's like, why are you attacking me? This is my land. Why are you trying to take it? And Liu Bu goes, it's free real estate.
Yeah, like, I don't see any borders here, so let's go.
So, yeah, Liu Bu manages to ambush Cao Cao, and Cao Cao, as, like, his army sort of goes to pieces. And Dian Wei bursts out to rescue him as he's really in deep. But then Liu Bu charges them and has had Cao Cao escaped, only to be hunted down in a flight. Read on.
No, he's fine.
Oh, okay, great.
He's fine. He's fine.
Chapter 12, Tao Qian yields Yu Zhou 3 times. Cao Cao overwhelms Liu Bu in battle.
Yes.
Immediately setting you up for a pattern that is persisting through the other chapter, and that has persisted from the other chapter, but is nevertheless incredibly entertaining.
Yeah, so Cao Cao manages to get out safely. And then Liu Bu's like, this is great, I'll just chase him down. And Chen Gong's like, no, don't. We've got his city. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in contact with, like, one of the richest people in the city and have him say, like, oh, I hate Liu Bu so much. Come here, I'll give you the city. And Liu Bu's like, okay, that sounds great. And Cao's like, perfect. Liu Bu's too stupid to have any plans. And then one of his advisors is like, he's got Chen Gong. And his castle's like, oh, fuck, that's right. Okay, well, just in case, we'll leave some forces outside.
Yeah, he splits his forces into three and rides right into the trap. And he more or less realizes his mistake almost immediately after getting in there, because he's like, huh, the streets are empty. Wait a minute. And then the walls of the city are soon overrun by blasts of fire as he's more or less surrounded in this burning city.
It's a bad time. He, even though he knew, he was like, I guess this could be a trap. He gets done pretty well here.
Yeah. So he's trapped in the fire. He can't get to his own forces, and then he sees a Lu Bu riding through the city, and he quickly covers his sort of ducks away. Does it's like the Hitman Blood Money. No, it's not Blood Money. It's Absolution, where he turns on the instinct mode and lowers his hat. And he's like, oh, I'm just another soldier. And Lubu's like, hey, have you seen Cao Cao? And Cao Cao's like, oh yeah, he went that way. And Lubu's like, fantastic, and rides off.
Yeah, I love the way that it was described as covering his face. Like, he probably put something on his face or adjusted some sort of thing on his head, but I like to imagine he was just holding a single hand over his face, and Lu Bu couldn't tell based on that.
I've just been picturing him tugging his hat really low.
That's good too.
You were video games, and Jem was, what if he was doing the John Cena?
Man, what if John Cena was in the Three Kingdoms, the shit would have gone different. Greatest warrior of our era.
You can't sell me.
Fuck off. Wow.
This podcast is over. I'm done.
That was the worst thing you've said.
I know.
All right. Well, as long as you know. And so Cao Cao manages to get out, and he's like, all right, well, that was all shitty, but I'm going to fuck Lu Bu up.
Yeah, he gets burned slightly on his arm and some of his hair, and he's like, why don't we just spread the rumor that I died from these burns, and Lu Bu's going to ride in trying to finish us off, and he'll be totally unprepared.
So this is where he has a sick plan that is unfortunately not quite as sick as I was hoping, because it's like, okay, we're going to make a fake funeral, and when Lu Bu comes to try and ambush it, we'll fuck him up. And that's great. But unfortunately, as has been alluded to already, I have seen wrestling, and I was like, oh, he's going to pull an Undertaker, he's going to hide in the coffin, and no. That would have been great, but no. So he fights back Lu Bu. Lu Bu loses a bunch of dudes and shuts himself up in Pyongyang. And they say this really quick, but they're like, oh, you know, harvest was bad, so they had to eat people. It's like, yeah? All right.
And that becomes I don't know if we'd call it recurring theme, but this is not the first time they quickly allude to, oh, by the way, we had to eat someone.
I mean, things are bad. There's no crops. Everyone is in the middle of this hell war, and then they're like, well, okay, things got this bad. We may have to take a break.
Yeah. So they're like, listen, let's suspend hostilities for a bit. Lu Bu, you can fuck off, but I will also fuck off, and we'll just pretend this didn't happen for a little bit before we definitely remember that it happens. And then, meanwhile, during this time, Tao Qian gets super sick, and he's like, listen, we only got Cao Cao off our back because Lu Bu attacked him. He's gonna come back. We really need to get Xuan De to take over. He was refusing because I was in great shape. There's no way he's gonna refuse again.
He won't refuse me while I'm in the middle of dying. That would be rude.
And that's exactly what happens. Because Xuan De is still like, no, I can't do it. This is bad optics. I cannot do this while there are bad optics. So, everything will be fine. You can stay the ruler of this area.
He it's literally the shot of Tao Qian reaching up, you have to take over, and then like dying holding his hand, and Xuande like, oh, rest in peace. But no, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, it gets bad enough that oh, I think that might happen a little bit later in the chapter, but
no, what happens is that he gets like he's still at the house, sort of like paying his respects, and the people of the city surround the city, yeah. And they're like, listen, you can't leave unless you take over. And he's like, okay, I will temporarily take over until someone else takes this, because I don't want it.
Yeah, we'll take care of the funeral things for this previous person, and I will be here until I can find someone else. Until I can find someone else to push this onto.
Meanwhile, Cao Cao finds out that this happened, and he's like, okay, the person I was going to get revenge on has died, and then Xuande just swooped in and just stole this whole kingdom. What a fucker. So ambitious, so ruthless.
And Xuande, like, it doesn't, but in my head it cuts to Xuande again. This is the exact thing I was worried about.
What did I tell y'all? Bad optics.
Bad optics. It's true. It's true. And so he's like, we're going to invade. I'm going to kill Xuande. I'm going to dig up Tao Tian and I'm going to spit on his corpse. And it's like, okay, listen, I appreciate the values at work here, but we would lose. So let's not.
Yeah, and you're still, you're going to go ahead and renew the war on two fronts thing that already wasn't going to go well for you. The reason why we left this place in the first place was so we didn't have to do a war on two fronts. And if you do this, we're not going to have anywhere to rest. So yeah, gotta just hold on for now.
And Cao Cao's like, well, I mean, I've got this army. They can't just chill. That's not how armies work. And he's like, well, I guess we could go fuck up some yellow scarves. They've got shit. We could take their shit. And so, yeah, that's the new plan. They run over to fuck up the yellow scarves.
Yep, this bit's great because it's like, okay, we can't fight the boss yet. We gotta go do the side quest first. I know you don't want to, but we'll get some great XP. The army gets some upgrades. We'll raise all our meters. It'll be fine. Trust me, it's gonna be chill. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, and so they ride out and they kill some scarves, and then like they've killed enough. Like they've killed, you know, the percentage goes up to 100%, and the boss spawns, and he's like, "I am her man, the devil who defies heaven. Who dares test me?" And Cao Hong kills him. It's like, oh, great. So you were overleveled for this dungeon. And so they're cleaning things up. And then Dian Wei encounters an unknown warrior. And Dian Wei is like, oh, are you one of the scarves? And the guy is like, nope, I just took a few hundred of them prisoner. And Dian Wei's like, great. Just, you know, pass him over. And he's like, okay, sure. If you can beat me. But Dian Wei's like, you fucking... And they spar for a full day with no clear winner.
Epic battles are occurring. I like whenever it's like they fought 200 rounds, but no victor emerged. I'm like, that's a lot of bouts to fight. Fighting 200. Man, you going for it.
Really, really, really going. And in the meantime, someone's like, hey, Cao Cao, Dian Wei has been fighting someone for, like, literally 10 hours. And Cao Cao's like, okay, I'm gonna come. Like, and so it gets to the point where after this full day, they both pitch tents to sleep for the night and wake up early, bright and early the next morning to start fighting again. And Cao Cao, like, by this point has showed up and he's like, huh. This is interesting. Okay, Dian Wei, pretend to lose. And so Dian Wei, like, fakes his defeat. The warrior chases and is driven off by archers and then gets sort of trapped in. And the guy's like, oh, look, here's Dian Wei, the loser. I guess the loser's back. And Dian Wei's like, listen, shut up. And, ties him, and, like, with help, ties him up and takes him to Cao Cao. And Cao Cao's like, hey, what's your deal? And he was like, I just wanted a job.
Yeah, specifically, they dig a pit and they get this dude to chase the they get this dude to chase them across with a horse and everything like that, and like a cartoon, he just falls straight into the pit.
I mean, no, I'm sure they covered it up with like some dirt or something. You couldn't. He was a good, you know. They used a lot of dudes to trap this one dude. I respect it.
It's a good plan.
Yeah. And so it's Shuchu, and he's just a dude who likes fighting and wants to work for Cao Cao. And Cao Cao's like, this sounds great. Let's welcome to the team. He goes back and he's like, okay, let's go fuck up Lubu's generals, because, you know, listen, they're still holding our house, and I still really hate Lubu.
Fair enough, really.
Yeah, no, you can't argue with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he fucks up those generals, and Lubu's like, all right, I'm gonna go, you know, deal with this myself. And Lubu, like, fights them, and he's like, oh shit, this is a lot of dudes.
Yeah, specifically, he starts fighting one-on-one Cao Cao, and Cao Cao's like, you know what would be better than one-on-one? How about six-on-one? And gets his generals to more or less surround Lubu and tire him out.
And so then Lubu rides back to Puyan, and he's like, hey, let me in. And the governor of Puyang is like, I already surrendered to Cao Cao, I'm sorry. Hey, I'm pushing your family out the door. You can take them, just get out of here.
Yeah, it's like, you used us once already, and I kind of felt bad about it, so fuck off.
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, this is fine, like, listen. I'm sure that Cao Cao is waiting in the woods to ambush us. We're going to fuck him up. And so, burn down these woods. Mr. Gorbachev, sorry.
Yeah, Cao Cao is smart enough to put a bunch of banners in the woods to make it look like they're hanging out there. So, Lubu rushes in there and is like, wait a minute, where's all the people? I recognize this. And then ambush.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like Lubu takes a while to think about the idea that if someone was waiting to ambush you, they probably wouldn't be waving a bunch of banners. And yeah, so he tries burning down the woods, there's nobody there, and then he gets the ambush hits and he loses 2/3 of his men. And they just have to They're getting ready to run, and he's like, all right, we got it. Like, Chen Gong's like, okay, I think it's time to go. Cao Cao retook the city. There's kind of nothing we can do here. And Lu Bu's like, listen, I can listen. It's just Cao Cao. I can still beat Cao Cao. Fuck this guy.
You lost 2/3 your army, dude.
I'm Lu Bu. It's fine. Will he remerge the victor?
Read on. Yeah, these three chapters are pretty cool this week. We're getting in it now. Lubu, Cao Cao, and Zhuan, they're all kind of taking seats of, seats of power, or seats of very reluctant temporary power as they bounce off each other in this conflict. And it's cool. I'm enjoying this book a whole lot.
It feels like everybody's really being peak themselves at this point, right? Like, Cao Cao is like being overconfident and taking like unnecessary fights, but still ultimately winning the day through good planning. Lubu is being like unbeatable on the field, but still beatable because he's a moron. Xuan De is being just the fucking worst. I hate this guy.
I like Xuan De.
I hate him so much. I enjoy reading about him, but like, goddamn it, Xuan De.
I find him slightly relatable in terms of, at least right now, in terms of being like, people are trying to give me this important thing to do and I really don't want to do it.
The thing, like, one of the things that makes it, like, He keeps bragging about how he's from the Imperial family and that he doesn't want responsibility. Like, my dude, shut up. You're like, I may be an Imperial prince, but that's like, then stop fucking mentioning that to everyone. Dumbass. I am curious to hear, like, what's going to happen with Dong Shuo's, you know, his boys holding down the capital. They're not, like, they're only lasting because nobody seems to care, right?
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before they are obnoxious enough that someone ends up caring again and they get killed, I imagine.
They have to publicly make the decree that they're the guy now, and then they're done. Right now, they're just sort of like, we're guy adjacent. Yeah. I don't know. So, Jackson.
Yes.
Since we last recorded one of these podcasts, you picked up Romance of the Three Kingdoms 14, right?
I picked up the one on Steam. I haven't played it.
Okay.
I'm not playing until I'm done. It's my rule.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying very hard to avoid stuff because, you know, I want to finish the thing first.
Sure. I respect that. Okay.
That's how I'm doing these things, and I've got a whole reading list of like other like supplemental material that I'm going to go down over the course of this podcast. I'll have more to say later, I guess.
I've been thinking about creating a house of certain key individuals in The Sims and seeing how that goes.
Good luck.
Thanks. Thanks. It'll be fun. We'll see who Zhang Fei hooks up with. Because it'll mostly be men, because that's who's in this book.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's fine. Alright, I guess we're taking it here to the plug zone.
We are.
Jackson, on behalf of Abnormal Mapping, please take the first shift.
Yeah, you can find me at Headfuls Off. M isn't here, but you can find them at EM_being. You can find all of our podcasts at abnormalmapping.com, and if you want to support them, you can go to patreon.com/abnormalmapping and get Gundam for $1 a month. The Great Gundam Project, you watch all of Gundam. It's probably our most popular podcast. I don't actually know. You have to pay to listen to it, so it's probably not, but it's the one people talk about the most, and I'm told it's pretty good, so... That's the plug. That's my hard sell.
You're about done with Victory now, right? You got how many, like two episodes left? Is that right?
Tomorrow we are doing the penultimate episode. The week after, it is the final episode, and we should have a guest.
All right, that's exciting. It's been a wild ride. I did not know what to expect from Victory, and it has not been what I expected.
Nope. I've enjoyed it a whole lot. I love the show. I love Gundam. And then that means in a couple of weeks. If you have been thinking about it and are like, maybe I should get involved with Gundam, but I don't have the Blu-rays. I don't know anything about Universal Century. G Gundam starts in 2 weeks at the end of October, and that is on Crunchyroll, and it's an older universe, so it's got there's no history you need to like. It's not like you need to watch Gundam before Zeta Gundam. That is a good jumping on point.
Indeed.
And presumably we'll actually get the most subscribers who are excited for Gundam Wing in 6 months.
I get more and more anxious about how that one's going to go over. Oh, boy.
I'm very curious, because I don't know.
Well, in any case, Jen, your plug zone. Take it away.
So I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. I also have a visual novel / adventure game / story focused podcast called Novel Not New, A True End Podcast, which is over on Abnormal Mapping. 80 Days will be the game we cover next, and yeah, pretty excited for that.
Nice.
And then I'm SixDetmar. I'm on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. Pretty much all the same shit as Jen. You should watch Kamen Rider Build. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Nice.
Yeah. No, like the Weed Lord Vegeta and Crass Pants finally got to me, and that's
they'll do that. Now. They will be doing that.
It took them a long time, to be honest. I'm impressed by how long I held out. But yeah. In the end I lost, as all do.
That's true. All for the Weed Lord.
But until next time, folks, read on.
Read on.
Read on. Okay. Mm-hmm.